Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, October 7th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. Thank you so much for making Locked On Jets your first listen each day. Today, it's Crossover Thursday. I speak with Aaron Freeman, the host of Locked On Falcons, to preview the Week 5 game between the Jets and the Falcons in London, ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
As I mentioned, I'll be joining Aaron Freeman in a bit for our weekly Crossover Thursday show. Aaron is the host of Locked On Falcons, and the Jets are in London this weekend for a game against Atlanta. It is the second ever Jets regular season game in London. The first one came back in 2015. They defeated the Miami Dolphins. Kind of interesting that the Jets have not been back in the last 6 years, considering their owner just got off a stint as ambassador to the UK, but here we are. And the Jets were speaking yesterday about their trip. Keelan Cole mentioned, and Keelan Cole is a former member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars typically play a game in London each year. He was talking a bit about his experiences traveling out there and the approach the Jets are taking because the Jets are flying out tonight. Cole talked about how the first year he played, the Jaguars spent the entire week in London and they lost. And then the next 2 years, they decided to fly out later in the week, and they won both games, and he talked about how important it is to not upset your internal clock. Robert Saleh also talked about trying to keep the players on a regular schedule to the greatest extent possible. So some interesting strategy in figuring out how the Jets deal with this long trip to London. The injury report came out for the first time all week. Elijah Moore is back at practice. He was a limited participant. He, of course, is coming off a concussion that made him miss last week's game against Tennessee. Jared Wilson, with a rib injury, fully participated in practice. And then there were a bunch of players who missed practice. Adrian Colbert and Brandon Echols are in the concussion protocol, although there was some talk about how Echols could conceivably play in this game. Tyler Kroft also missed practice with a back injury, so that's something to watch at the tight end position. Along with that, Nathan Shepard with a knee injury missed practice. So did wide receiver Jeff Smith. And Denzel Mims, the saga continues. He missed practice with an illness that was not COVID-related. So we'll see what happens there. And throughout the week, one thing that I always keep my eye on, it's not so much the status of a player on Wednesday as it is their trajectory through the week. And if you're not familiar with the way the NFL does injury reports, they require teams to put them out after practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So Wednesday gives you the initial view, but I look at Thursday and Friday. Did this player who did not practice on Wednesday maybe get back in a limited capacity on Thursday and then back in a full capacity on Friday? That's something worth watching. And this week in particular, it seems like you have a lot of key Jets on the injury report. And of course, you have the bye week coming up after this, which will give these guys some time to rest. Typically, the NFL gives teams the week after they play in London as their bye week, an early bye week this year for the Jets. So we'll keep our eyes on injuries both this week and moving into the bye. But let's get to my discussion with Aaron Freeman, the host of Locked On Falcons. Aaron gives us a lot of insight on this game. It'll be week 5 between the Jets and the Falcons in London, ahead here on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Jets will be looking to improve their record to 2-3 this weekend. If you're looking to improve the performance of your car or truck, go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs, because they have everything you could ever need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car could ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons and locked on Jets. Today is another crossover Thursday where I, the host of Locked On Falcons, Aaron Freeman, you can find me on Twitter at FalcFans, is joined by John Butchko, the host of the Locked On Jets podcast. And I got to respect John because he's the only Locked On host that is not on Twitter, has basically decided to stay away from the garbage fire that is Twitter these days. And much respect to you, John, for keeping that at bay. But we're going to be talking about this week 5 matchup in London between the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Jets.
Aaron, it's great to speak with you once again. We did this 4 years ago in a game at MetLife Stadium, which was played in a monsoon, so hopefully better weather this weekend in London and a less sloppy game.
Well, typically, you know, London is not known for their sunny days. So, I don't know what the weather report is going to be for this weekend, but I just know, generally speaking, the odds are not necessarily in our favor in that regard for a clear sunny day in London. But we'll just sort of have to see how that goes. And, you know, kicking things off, talking about this New York Jets team, they're coming off of their first win in an overtime win against the Tennessee Titans. You know, this season has been a sort of a new start for this Jets team, new quarterback with Zach Wilson. And sort of my first question is a bit of a two-parter. And the first question is, you know, we've seen a bunch of turnovers from this Jets team. Wilson already has 8 interceptions this season, thrown at least one interception in every game. So the first part of my question is sort of, what is your assessment that has led to Wilson tendency to turn the ball over a bunch in this first month of the season? And the second question has been sort of Wilson's ability to create plays off structure. And I know when with this Falcons team, they've had some struggles with quarterbacks, more mobile quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Taylor Heineke and Daniel Jones. Do you feel like Wilson's ability to play that style will help him this weekend, or should the Jets be looking to try to do a better job of reining him in that regard?
Well, as far as your first question goes, it's difficult to answer because the turnovers have come for all sorts of different reasons. There have been moments like in the game against Carolina where he threw an interception where I think he kind of just lost track of a linebacker. Against New England, he was a little bit too aggressive. I think he tried to fit balls into covered receivers. And on a lot of those plays, he actually had an open check down. Now, he threw 2 against Denver as well. One of them came because he was a little too hesitant. So, you know, there were the plays against New England where he was too aggressive. There was one where he had Corey Davis open and he just kind of stared him down and allowed the safety to get a jump on him. The second interception against Denver hit his receiver in the hands. It was just kind of a drop. And then the one last weekend, Corey Davis kind of slipped coming out of a break. So it's been, I'm not sure there's any one reason he's been throwing a lot of interceptions. Some of them were kind of unlucky. He's had a couple that hit receivers in the hands, as I mentioned. There have been some where he just was trying to fit balls into places he can't fit them. I think a lot of it goes back to being a rookie. Maybe that's kind of a cliched answer, but he's facing defenses he hasn't seen before. He's facing faster defenders than he's seen before. I think it's just a big learning curve. I think anytime you have a rookie quarterback, you're going to have some ugly moments. You just hope that he grows and learns from his mistakes. Now, I think the Jets want Wilson creating outside the structure of the play call, because after the 4 interception game against New England, it kind of felt like the coaching staff was a little tentative to put the ball in his hands. And it seemed like they kind of coached him to try and be safe. And that created some problems in itself. He took some sacks he probably should not have taken on plays where he had receivers open, where he saw open receivers, but he was a little hesitant to throw the ball. There, that interception I told you about against Denver, that was him kind of staring down Corey Davis. Like he wasn't entirely sure he wanted to throw it and he waited too long. Last week through almost 3 quarters, the Jets offense was really struggling. There was a play where he was kind of fooled at the line of scrimmage. It looked like the Titans were going to blitz and he thought he had Corey Davis one-on-one on the slant who was going to be open. The Titans dropped out of that blitz and the passing lane was constricted. And instead of like moving through his progressions, he kind of bailed on a clean pocket, scrambled to his right. Keelan Cole broke his route off. and he hit Cole for a 54-yard gain. The three longest completions that traveled through the air last Sunday against Tennessee were all on kind of broken plays. There was another one to Jamison Crowder where he fumbled, and the Titans defenders kind of got out of position because they were kind of chasing the ball, and Crowder got open and he hit Crowder. And then there was a touchdown to Corey Davis, which was a bootleg play where a safety kind of got himself out of position and Wilson pointed Davis to the end zone. Davis, again, that was another situation where Davis broke his route because he had a route that was coming across the field. And Davis pointed him to the end zone. He carried it up the field and hit Davis for a touchdown. And the way I view it is that Wilson's still a work in progress. He's still learning how to play the quarterback position, seeing lots of looks he's never seen before. And his ability to create outside the structure of the play is something that can maybe sustain him while he learns how to read NFL defenses. So we've kind of seen it both ways the last 2 weeks against Denver, where they wanted him to really rein things in. Jets got shut out in that game. Then against Tennessee, he started creating outside the structure of the play. They had their best offensive game of the year. So, you know, you're going to live with some risks with Wilson. That's just the kind of quarterback he is. You may have some big mistakes. It may go the other way on Sunday, but I think for the Jets to succeed, they need him to go out there and try and make plays.
Now, my big question for the Jets defense has been, it does seem like, at least in the early going, looking at some of the numbers, that this Jets defense is playing pretty well in this first month under new head coach Robert Saleh. They're coming off a 7-sack performance against Tennessee this past week. And for the Falcons fans listening, you know, or I won't speak for all Falcon fans, but I certainly know for me, you know, one of my biggest concerns about this Falcons team has been their offensive line and its inconsistent performance. They held up reasonably well against Washington's pass rush this past week. So I guess my question is this Jets pass rush as good as maybe some of the numbers are saying, or is this maybe a reflection of they haven't necessarily played too many teams early in the season that are known for having a lot of offensive firepower?
I don't know that it's as good as the numbers would suggest. Now, last week against the Titans, Tennessee was playing without Julio Jones and AJ Brown, and the Jets cornerback group is not really a great strength, but against a depleted Tennessee receiving core, I think that they were a little bit more comfortable sending blitzes. And I think that that played a role in it. Now, this is a Jets defense that blitzes on third down relatively frequently, but I think on early downs, they tend to want to play more conservatively. And I do think that that played a role in it, that they were sending more. I mean, there were plays where I saw when watching the film, there were plays where the Jets weren't even covering receivers that were coming out of the backfield for the Titans. And if Ryan Tannehill had found them, Jets could have been in some trouble, but the blitzes just got home. That said, this is a very talented defensive line. Now they're playing without Carl Lawson, who was their big free agent signing. He got hurt in the preseason. It was actually a training camp joint practice with Green Bay. Losing him hurt a lot, but you have guys who are really stepping up. You have John Franklin Myers, who Jets acquired from the Rams a few years ago, who's really developed into a very, very solid player. He was constantly on the backfield on Sunday from the defensive end position. Quinnen Williams, third-year player out of Alabama. He was the number three pick, posted a pair of sacks. He, at the end of last year, really began to come on, and he got off to a bit of a slow beginning to 2021, but the last 2 weeks, he's really been a force inside. He had a couple of sacks. They have Sheldon Rankins, who's a guy you probably saw a couple of times in the NFC South. There's some talent on this defensive line.
My last question for you, John, is looking at the injury report, and a couple of players missed practice today. Is there any early injuries so far this week? You know, we're recording this, you know, after Wednesday's practice, but you know, are there any injuries that Falcon fans should be keeping their eye on that could wind up impacting this matchup?
Well, we know Marcus May is going to be out. May suffered an ankle injury. He missed the Sunday game against the Tennessee Titans, and he's a key player on the Jets defense. He's a safety who kind of was in obscurity for the first couple of years of his career because he was actually drafted the same year the Jets took Jamal Adams. Adams was the first round pick in 2017. May was the second round pick. So the Jets will be without him. Outside of that, there are a couple of injuries I think to keep your eyes on. Brandon Echols is in the concussion protocol. He's been the Jets' number two corner. There have been some rumblings that maybe he'll be able to play, but he missed practice on Wednesday. You also have Elijah Moore, the rookie receiver, who was also been in the concussion protocol. He returned to practice on Wednesday. He's gotten off to kind of a slow start to the season. There was a lot of buzz around him in training camp, although he missed the preseason because he suffered an injury in camp. But I'm sure the Jets would love to get him back into the lineup on Sunday. He's a guy they've been expecting big things from. Again, a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's a guy who I think can help them.
Absolutely. So we're going to switch gears here and flip sides on today's Crossover Thursday as we continue here with John Butchko of Locked On Jets and, of course, myself, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons.
The Jets are in London this weekend, one of many exciting games across the football landscape. And know that, as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action in 2021. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for all things football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. It's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John with Locked On Jets, along with Aaron from Locked On Falcons. And we are here to preview the Week 5 game between the New York Jets and the Atlanta Falcons. It will be Sunday morning in London. So, Aaron, by noon, one of us is going to be very happy and the other one of us will have our day ruined at a very early point. Aaron, I guess I have to begin by asking you about Kyle Pitts. He was the big draft pick that the Falcons made. He was a guy who got a lot of buzz heading into this season. What kind of a beginning to his career is he off to?
Yeah, it hasn't lived up to the hype so far. And I think part of that was due to the Falcons' decision to trade Julio Jones, left a pretty massive void in the Falcons' offense, getting that sort of reliable playmaker and that sort of security blanket that Julio Jones has been for Matt Ryan for the past decade. And so the expectations were, you know, Calvin Ridley can't get all the targets vacated by Julio Jones. And so the best option besides Ridley is going to be Kyle Pitts. And so the expectation going into the season was that Kyle Pitts would be utilized quite a bit in this Falcons offense. And it's been kind of a mixed bag. There's been chunks of games where Pitts was a non-factor. You go back to the Giants game in Week 3, where he didn't have a single target into the fourth quarter. And that wasn't necessarily singularly owed to the Giants just double teaming him and taking him out of the game. It was just the Falcons just didn't really do a whole lot to try to feature him in the offense. And you've seen Pitts perform better in this past Sunday's performance against Washington, but it's still kind of a work in progress to get him integrated. The expectation was that he was going to be a huge part of their red zone offense and be sort of their go-to playmaker, you know, inside the 20. And while they have targeted him a bunch, he has yet to, you know, reel in a touchdown at this point this season. It hasn't really hurt the Falcons, given that their red zone efficiency has been pretty high this season. I think they're in the top 15 there. But it is one of those things where, you know, the expectation with Kyle Pitts was that he would sort of hit the ground running coming out of the gates. And, you know, he's a rookie tight end. That's a position that is notorious for not necessarily having guys come in right away and impacting early. So it continues to be a work in progress as this season unfolds. And I think there are signs that Pitts and Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith, the head coach and play caller, you know, they're getting a little bit more comfortable with each other, but it just isn't sort of hitting as quickly as I think a lot of people hoped.
Now, broadening our view a bit, what kind of a start is Matt Ryan off to under this new coaching staff?
Well, the good thing for Matt Ryan is he's coming off a very good game against Washington. That was his best game of the year. The first couple of weeks were just, you know, it wasn't that he was bad, but it was just very, very mediocre. He did not look like a quarterback that he has performed at of his caliber, top 10, top 15 type of quarterback, and just seemed to be kind of an average starter. And a lot of it is due to the Falcons offense being very limited, particularly without sort of a real vertical threat in this offense, where Matt Ryan's number of attempts of passes beyond 20 yards was at the bottom of the league. I think Andy Dalton's the only quarterback in the league that attempted fewer deep passes than Matt Ryan has so far this season. They opened things up a little bit against Washington and were able to hit on some big plays. It was a big 42-yard touchdown to Cordarrelle Patterson on the deep post. And that was basically Matt Ryan's first completed deep pass of the season. And so, you know, it's been a tough going for Matt Ryan. The offense has been probably a little bit too check down oriented in large part due to the concerns about the Falcons' ability to hold up against the rush. They have gotten steadily better each and every week in terms of their offensive line and their pass protection. And hopefully that continues to be a trend, and that will allow Matt Ryan to have a little bit more comfort level, you know, holding that football and being able to push the ball down the field a little bit further, because otherwise their offense has been very limited to that degree. So it hasn't been a great going for Matt Ryan. Not all of that is his fault due to some concerns about the supporting cast around them. They don't really have a running game. The pass protection hasn't been great. They don't really have playmakers that can really stretch the defense, or at least the playmakers that they do have, like Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, haven't really been asked to do that so far this season. So, you know, some of the criticism that I think Matt Ryan has gotten has been a little bit too much, but at the same time, he wasn't doing a whole lot on his own to really elevate the rest of the unit in those first three games. But I think this past Sunday against Washington, we started to see the Matt Ryan of old, and hopefully that will be the Matt Ryan we continue to see the rest of the season.
No, I know the Falcons' pass defense has had a few issues this season. What do you attribute the struggles to thus far?
All of the above. I would say, I think probably the number one issue is their lack of pass rush. You know, Dante Fowler and Grady Jarrett are really their only two, proven options as far as pass rush goes. And when neither of those two guys are getting to the quarterback, the Falcons haven't had a ton of success getting to the quarterback. They have been trying to supplement things with blitzing a lot more, but they haven't necessarily been as aggressive as they probably need to be throwing blitzes at opposing quarterbacks. And I think in large part that's due to concerns on the back end. Their secondary play has not been great. Their safety play has not been great. Their cornerback play has not been great. Their linebacker play in terms of coverage has not been great. And so, you know, that's why I say all of the above. It seems like whatever you want to sit here and point fingers at as to, you know, holding back this Falcons pass defense, it's been, you know, you can pick anything out of the hat and it will probably be a contributing factor.
Now, for the Jets, this is a rebuilding year. They went 2-14 last season. They have the most rookie snaps in the NFL so far through the first 4 weeks. The Falcons also have a new head coach in Arthur Smith, and I'm wondering what the expectations were heading into the season for the Falcons and whether they've met them so far.
Well, it depends on who you ask. Some people will sit here and tell you, oh, we knew the Falcons were not going to be particularly good this season, and this was going to be the start of a rebuild. Others were a little bit more optimistic in terms of believing that this team with a new head coach could sort of live up to the expectations that they failed to live up to the last three seasons under their old head coach and Dan Quinn, when they were expected to be a playoff team and potentially a team that could compete and win their division and compete for a Super Bowl over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, they were a far cry from living up to those expectations under Dan Quinn. And so I think a lot of people hope that Arthur Smith would sort of be that magic bullet that could come in and allow that team to live up to that. And, you know, they have been nowhere closer. And in fact, you can make a pretty easy argument that they are actually taking a step back from where they have been these last couple of years under Dan Quinn, in large part due to the struggles of the Falcons offense, which has always been sort of where their bread has been buttered in terms of their ability to win football games. If their offense is struggling, you know, they just don't have the caliber of defense to really stop teams and win low scoring type of ball games. So I think with expectations, again, depending on who you ask, you know, the Falcons 1-3 start is right on par with what some people thought, but I think is certainly below where I think most people were at with this team. And looking like is that this team is also rebuilding, but unfortunately they don't necessarily have the same situation that a team like the Jets have, where they have a bunch of young players, a relatively open salary cap situation. The Falcons have a lot of highly paid players that they've paid over the last, 4 or 5 years, with the expectation that they were going to help guide this team, you know, deep into the postseason. And they have, as I mentioned, failed to live up to those expectations. And so this rebuild is going to be a little bit more of a issue for them, because is it going to require them to clear cap space in the near future? You know, which would mean that they may wind up getting worse as a football team moving forward if they lose players like Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones, some of these more prominent names currently on the Falcons roster that are paid a lot of money. But if they're not performing, does the team basically tear it all down? And so that's going to be a big question that's going to hang over this franchise, you know, the rest of this season as well as next offseason. And depending on how they perform the rest of the way, I think is going to determine if they can start, you know, playing better and winning some games, then I think they'll feel less inclined to completely tear it all down. But, you know, if they wind up, you know, finishing the season with like 3 or 4 wins or something like that, then, you know, there's going to be no other recourse other than to just completely blow it up.
Right. Well, Aaron, hopefully things improve for both of our teams going forward. I would say I'll chat with you again the next time these teams play in 2025, but who knows, maybe we'll have a Super Bowl in our future before then.
Maybe. One can hope.
That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk Jets Falcons.